It Was a Riddle, Not a Command by Joseph DeMond. Chapter 25. 3 days and three nights. Page 107. Another way to prove whether or not the crescent moon falls on the start of the month, or if it is the conjuncture, is to look at the crucifixion of Yeshua. But in order to do this, we must understand the chronology of events surrounding Passover during the year he was crucified. Yeshua was crucified on the 14th of the first month, at the end of the preparation day for Passover. We are told there is only one sign that conclusively proves Yeshua is our Messiah. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall be no sign given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the proclaiming of Jonah, and behold, one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, one greater than Solomon is here." Matthew 12, verses 38 to 42. When we refer to the account in the book of Jonah, we are made aware of the following. Then the men feared Yahovah exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to Yahovah and vowed vows, and Yahovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah 1, verses 16 to 17. And Jonah prayed to Yahovah his God out of the fish's belly, and he cried, "I cried to Yahovah from my distress." And Jonah prayed to Yahovah his God out of the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried to Yahovah from my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried for help, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the depths of the seas, and the currents surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I am cast off from your eyes, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' Waters encompassed me, even to the soul. The depth closed around me. The seaweed was bound to my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was around me forever. Yet you have brought me up. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Yahovah, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Yahovah, and my prayer came into you, into your holy temple. They who take heed to lying vanities forsake their kindness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill that which I vowed. Salvation belongs to Yahovah." And Yahovah spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. Jonah 2, verses 1 to 10. The only sign our Saviour and Messiah gave, who was killed on the tree, the 14th of Nisan, was that he would ascend from the grave 3 days and three nights later, just as Jonah came forth from the fish 3 days and three nights later. In other words, what many assume to be Good Friday to Easter Sunday. If we persist in believing Yeshua was killed at 3 p.m. on Good Friday and rose from the grave Easter Sunday, then we are spiritually inept. Let's begin by counting Friday as one day. It was not because it was at the end of the day when he died, but let us just count it out anyway. We have Friday day and Friday night as the first day and night. Then we have Saturday day and Saturday night as the second day and night. Next we have Sunday day and Sunday night as the third day and night. If you believe in Good Friday and Easter Sunday, do you not see a problem here? It is impossible to derive 3 days and three nights from this equation when even your own tradition maintains he rose Sunday morning. By examining the 3 days and three nights of when Yeshua died, we can know for sure whether or not the Good Friday Easter Sunday scenario is correct and, at the same time, determine if the crescent moon was used to begin the month. Wednesday the 14th, Thursday the 15th, Friday the 16th, Sabbath the 17th, first day, the 18th. I would ask that you begin by reading John 18 from start to finish. To give John 18 context, chapter 17 gives an account of the Last Supper, and they, the disciples and Yeshua, have just made their way to the Mount of Olives, the place where Yeshua is arrested. We need to explain this for some to understand and realize that the day begins when the sun sets. At sunset is the start of the day. The night portion is the first 12 hours, and then the morning or daylight is the onset of the next 12 hours of that same day. We read in the book of Genesis, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided between the light and the darkness. And God called the light day. And he called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Genesis 1 verses 3 to 5. "And God said, let there be an expanse in the middle of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and divided the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heavens. And the evening and the morning were the second day." Genesis 1 verses 6 to 8. "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together to one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering together of the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth tender sprouts, the herb seeding seed and the fruit tree producing fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth tender sprouts, the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree producing fruit after its kind, whose seed was itself, or was in itself. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Genesis 1, verses 9 to 13. "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the smaller light to rule the night and the stars also. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide between the light and the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Genesis 1 verses 14 to 19. "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarmers having a living soul, and let birds fly over the earth on the face of the expanse of the heavens. And God created great sea animals and every living soul that creeps with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." Genesis 1, verses 20 to 23. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creepers, and its beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and all creepers upon the earth after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. He created them male and female. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and all animals that move upon the earth." Genesis 1 verses 24 to 28. "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb seeding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, seeding seed. To you it shall be for food. and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the heavens, and to every creeper on the earth, which has in it a living soul, every green plant is for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 1, verses 29 to 31. In each of the 6 days of creation, Yahovah states that the evening and then the morning were both parts of the same day. This then leaves us with an evening and also the day part as that which constitutes the seventh day upon which Yahovah rested. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created to make. Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. And to make absolutely sure you understand this sunset to sunset construct, Yahovah then states it categorically in the book of Leviticus. And Yahovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Also on the 10th of this 7th month, this is a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer a fire offering to Yahovah. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, in order to make an atonement for you before Yahovah your God. For any soul who is not humbled in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And any soul who does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no kind of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall humble your souls. In the 9th of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath." Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32. You now have biblical proof that the day begins at sunset on the day of, and then ends at sunset the very next day. Therefore, the Sabbath begins at sunset, and not when three stars can be seen, or in accordance with other folklore traditions. Sunset to sunset is the operative and immutable rule here, and never the exception. Yeshua also stated there were to be 12 hours in a given day. If there are 12 hours in a day, then there are also 12 hours that make up a given night. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world." John 11, verse 9. So the 3 days in question consist of 3 12-hour periods of daylight and nighttime, respectively. Now let's begin by following the chain of events that took place at this time in chronological order. Yeshua had eaten the Last Supper and washed the feet of his disciples after sunset when the 14th day of Nisan had begun. In the evening of this same 14th day of Nisan, they had all made their way to the Mount of Olives. It was there that Yeshua prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was also there where he was arrested and subsequently brought before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests, while it was yet dark. And while it was still dark, they also sent Yeshua to Pontius Pilate. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they did not go into the praetorium, that they should not be defiled, and that they might eat the Passover. John 18, 28. As a matter of principle, they would not enter into the praetorium so as not to defile themselves before Passover, which starts at the end of the 14th day, when the 15th of the Nisan, the first month, begins. Again, in John 19, we are told this transpired on the preparation day of Passover. This is the 14th day of Nisan. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots on them, as to what each should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Mark 15, verses 24 to 25. This third hour occurred at 9 a.m. during the day portion of the 14th. At this juncture, Yeshua had been delivered up to Annas and Caiaphas. He was then brought before Pilate, then Agrippa, and back to Pilate. This all took place during the night and the very early morning hours. Finally, at 9 a.m., he was nailed to the tree. Then when Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your King. John 19, verses 13 to 14. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in the middle. And crying with a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed out the spirit. Luke 23, verses 44 to 46. The sixth hour was at 12 p.m., and the ninth hour was at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, all of which again took place on the 14th day of Nisan. Then when Yeshua had died, the priest asked to have everyone's legs broken in order that those being crucified might die faster, so they could be taken down from the tree they were hung on before the high holy day of Passover began on the 15th day at sunset. Then when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Then the Jews, because it was preparation, begged Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. John 19, verses 30 to 33. For these things happened that the scripture should be fulfilled that says, Not a bone of him will be broken. John 19, verse 36. This is taken from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. After Yeshua died on the tree about 3 p.m., which was the ninth hour, there are 12 hours in a day, then Joseph of Arimathea had to cross over the Kidron and go back to the Praetorium to ask Pilate for the body of Yeshua. He then had to come back accompanied by the centurion who had pierced Yeshua through with his spear to make sure he was dead. By this time it was the 10th hour. With roughly 2 hours remaining until sunset, they could now remove the body and place it in the tomb. They did this just before sunset, as the high holy day was about to begin. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, begged of Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave permission. Then he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus also came, who at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it with linens with the spices, as is the custom of the Jews to bury. And in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one yet had been placed. There then, because of the preparation of the Jews, because the tomb was near, they laid Jesus. John 19, verses 38 to 42. The 15th day of Nisan is the high holy day John spoke of. On the 14th day of the first month between the evenings is Yahovah's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to Yahovah. You must eat unleavened bread 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no work of labour. Leviticus 23, verses 5 to 7. I want you to now look at this next verse, very carefully. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and he laid it in a tomb that had been cut in the stone, in which no man had before been laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And also women were following, who were accompanying him out of Galilee, who watched the tomb and how his body was placed. Luke 23, verses 53 to 55. And they returned, and they prepared spices and ointment, and they rested on the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Luke 23, verse 56. Verse 53 informs us it is still the 14th day when Yeshua was killed, and they laid him in the tomb. It was the preparation day for the High Holy Day. That High Holy Day was also a Sabbath. That Sabbath that was about to come fell on the 15th day of the month, and it was the first day of unleavened bread. This is why they rushed to place his body in the tomb. Notice how in verse 56 they worked to prepare the spices and ointments. This could not be done on the High Holy Day, but it was done on Friday, which was also the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, which they rested on. Notice it says they returned after the High Holy Day and prepared the ointment on the Friday preparation day. And on the first of the Sabbaths, While still very early, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Luke 24, verse 1. This account of the first of the Sabbath is the first day of the Feast of Weeks when they began the counting of the Omer. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came upon the tomb, the sun having risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. Mark 16, verses 1 to 5. And he said to them, "Do not be frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither did they say anything to anyone, for they were afraid. And when Jesus had risen early the first day of the Sabbath, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Mark 16, verses 6 to 9. The first of the Sabbaths, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, darkness still being on it, and she saw the stone taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Therefore Peter and that other disciple went forth and came to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linens lying, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linens lying there. And the grave cloth that was on his head was not lying with the linens, but was wrapped up in one place by itself. Therefore then that other disciple also went in, the one who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to themselves. John 20, verses 1 to 10. But Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned backward and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." John 20, verses 11 to 17. But later that same day, Yeshua appeared to them and encouraged the disciples to touch him and examine the holes in his hands and feet. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first of the Sabbaths, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20, verses 18 to 22. And as they spoke this, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and filled with fear, for they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that I am he. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had spoken this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And they handed to him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and ate before them. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms about me." Luke 24, verses 36 to 44. And he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So it is written, and so it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be proclaimed in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father on you. But you sit in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And it happened, as he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And worshipping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Luke 24, verses 45 to 53. At first Mary could not touch him, but later that same day Yeshua told his disciples to touch him and examine the holes in his hands and feet. You now know the complete chronology of the events surrounding the crucifixion and resurrection of Yeshua. He was arrested on the evening of the 14th day, or Tuesday evening. He was then tried and hung on the tree at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning, which again still fell on the 14th day. At 3 p.m. he died, and at roughly 5 or 6 p.m. just before sunset he was buried. All of this occurred on the 14th day of the first month, from sunset Tuesday evening until sunset Wednesday. Wednesday evening after sunset was then the start of the High Holy Day of the first day of unleavened bread. It was the 15th day of the first month. Thursday day was also the very same feast day. This in turn was then the first night and the first day of the counting of the 3 days and three nights. Thursday night and Friday day constituted the weekly preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. This was the day the ointment was prepared. This was the 16th day of the first month. It was also the second night and the second day Yeshua was in the earth. Friday night and Saturday day was the weekly Sabbath and the third night and the third day. This in turn was the 17th day of the first month. At this time the women came on the first day while it was still dark to apply the ointment, but Yeshua was already gone. He would have risen from the tomb at the end of the Sabbath and just as the first day of the week was about to begin at sunset. The first day of the week would have been Saturday night and Sunday day, and this was the 18th day of the first month. It was at 9 a.m., the time of the morning sacrifices, that Yeshua ascended to heaven as the wave sheaf offering on that Sunday morning. Once he presented himself and those he brought with him from the grave, he then returned to the earth the same day on the first day of the week, where he met up with the disciples. We have now established Wednesday as the 14th of Nisan and the day Yeshua was crucified. We have provided you with the appropriate biblical scriptures to prove our position, and we can plainly see now how Good Friday and Easter Sunday are not the days he was killed or rose from the grave on. We will now take a look at two additional teachings that further reinforce and prove Wednesday to be the 14th day of the month of Nisan. On that basis, we will then demonstrate to you how the year Yeshua was killed began with a crescent moon, that is, the moon by which to usher in a given month. In fact, we are going over these teachings with you to establish the fact that any and every given month is always to begin with a crescent moon sighting. Once proven, we then know the seventh month also began with a crescent moon sighting, and two, it is the seventh month that attests to the Feast of Shouting, aka the Feast of Trumpets, on the first day of the seventh month. Moreover, it is because of the need to sight the moon, which can occur on one of 2 days, that we get the expression, "No man can know the day or the hour." This truism is also the clue given to us regarding when the Messiah shall return. The Feast of Trumpets also teaches us that on this feast day was when the Messiah was first born and will come again on this very same day.